I do believe that. Well, it's preaching time. I hope anyway you pray for me. God will help me. And pray for my voice. I don't have a sore throat, but I just don't have much volume out of my lungs. I'm having a hard time kind of breathing through my lungs, and so you pray for that. I'm going to ask you to find two places tonight in your Bible, please. Exodus chapter number 20 and Joshua chapter number 24. Exodus chapter number 20 and Joshua chapter number 24. And if you would, when you find that, let's stand together and read the Word of God together. First, we'll read in Exodus and chapter 20. And we'll read the first three verses in that chapter. Exodus 20 and chapter number, or Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then in Joshua chapter number 24, and let's read two verses there, verses 14 and 15. I think very familiar verses of Scripture to most people. If you've been saved any length of time at all, surely you've heard somebody preach on choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And so in verse number 14, Joshua says, and by the way, Joshua, this is his last and final instruction to the people of God. He has assumed the command of Israel, led them across the Jordan. They have advanced into the land of Canaan and now occupy that land. And Joshua is ready to die. And he leaves these final instructions, words of instruction, to the people of God. He said in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads. I ask God to help us. I feel like I've got the message God wants preached tonight. And I need your undivided attention. I need your help. I need your prayers. I'm praying God will still every heart. I'm not worried about sober meetings anymore. I'm glad when God passes by and stills our heart in silence that we might listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And I ask you to pray tonight. I ask God to help us. Our Father, I thank Thee tonight for the good singing. I thank You for Your people that are here. And I pray that You'll open our hearts and bless us and help us tonight. Save old sinners, get glory to Your name, revive the people of God. And I pray again today that You'd bless the preacher. Help me, I pray, to find the liberty, the power, the grace, and the glory for my soul to preach tonight the unsearchable riches of Christ. Have Your divine will and way in every heart, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, last week I preached to you on the thought, owning God, and I want to return to that thought again this week. I want to preach again tonight, if God will help me, on the first commandment, where Moses there, under the inspiration of God, said these wonderful, glorious, and grand words, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, if you remember, I said last week that to own God is to sanctify God in your heart. That is to give Him precedence above all created beings. And God will not settle for anything less than that. No man can serve two masters. There's not a man living that can have two gods. No man can have two wives at the same time. And neither can a man have two gods at the same time. Now, Moses spoke these words to Israel as they prepared to enter into their inheritance. That is the words I'm getting ready to read to you out of the book of Deuteronomy. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now I want to say, church, if the Lord is our God and we love Him with all of our heart like we ought to, then it should not be difficult for us to serve God. That's what I want to preach on tonight, if God will help me. Last week, sanctifying the Lord God in our heart, and this week, serving the Lord God. And if we have sanctified Him in our heart, He is our God, and we've got no other gods before Him, then there will be no problem, no difficulty whatsoever for you and I to serve the Lord God. Now, you just bear with me a little while. In verse number 14, Joshua mentions the gods on the other side of the flood. Just to prove to you that I've not left my text now, in verse number 3 of Exodus 20, Joshua mentions the gods that were on the other side of the flood. And then he mentions the gods down in Egypt. And then he mentions the Lord, and he instructs the people to make up their mind, or to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, there are a plurality of gods in this world that man can serve if he wants to serve it. Like I said last week, there's the God of pleasure. And there's no doubt we are living in a pleasure-crazed society in 1991. We'll worship and serve the creature more than we will the Creator. And people today have gone absolutely nuts about pleasures. They have made athletes their gods. They have made movie stars their god. They have made possessions their god. Men have made power their god. Men have made possessions their god. Men have made prestige their god. I'm simply saying that there are a lot of gods in the world today. And Joshua instructs the people of God to choose whom they're going to serve, either the gods that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods down in Egypt, or the Lord God. But he said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to say to you tonight, and especially you young people, you ought to make up your mind right now whether you're going to serve God or serve the devil. Whether you're going to serve God or serve Balaam. I made up my mind a long time ago that Sister Hall and I are going to serve the Lord. Now I tell you, if my kids give up on God, it'd break my heart. If my son-in-laws was to quit on God, it'd break my heart. If you were to quit on God, it'd break my heart. But I made up my mind a long time ago, friend, that whether you serve God or whether you don't serve God is not going to have any bearing on Brother Hall's life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe that's what Joshua was saying to the people of Israel. He said, hey, there's other gods that you can serve. And I would to God you would serve the Lord. But if you don't, he said, let it be known today that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to say to you, and pardon the expression, come hell or high water, we ought to stay with God. No matter how bad it gets, we ought to stay with God. No matter how dry it gets, we ought to stay with God. Brother Brown and I were discussing the dryness and the deadness that's crept into our churches today. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, well, I'll go somewhere else and it ain't that way. Honey, I'm telling you, the grass ain't always greener on the other side.
I've probably been in more churches than you have, and I ain't found it one whit better wherever I go than what we got it here. As a matter of fact, I find it worse in most places than what we've got her right here. You may have her better right here than what you think you got.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen. He said, you make up your mind who you're going to serve. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, don't nobody leave me. It's one thing for our judgment to approve of God. I've had a lot of people in their judgment to approve God. I mean, it's not hard, my friend, to hear a preacher preach and talk about the goodness of God and about the pardon and mercy of God and about enjoying eternity and how precious and wonderful it is for God. And in our judgment, we can approve of God. But I'm going to tell you, it's quite another thing, my friend. It's another thing for our will to choose God. I said it's another thing for our will to choose God. That's what Joshua said. In your will and in your affections, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I'm telling you, I know reprobates that talk about how good God is. I know lost men that talk about how good God is. They approve of God. They approve of what God has done on Calvary, but they wouldn't approve of God's judgment for a minute.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I won't say this, and I hope some of you don't forget being out of joint, but salvation is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice.
Right. Amen.
Now, that's right. Now, you better hear what I'm saying. There's some preachers today that absolutely deprive a sinner of that right of making a choice. But I'm telling you, my friend, serving God and salvation is a matter of choice and not chance. I made my decision a long time ago when God gave me that blessed privilege of making the right choice, whether choosing Him or choosing the devil in the world. I'm glad that He gave me enough grace to say yes to the wooing power of the Spirit of God and to make the right choice in my heart to serve God.
Amen.
Now, I'll try to clarify myself, lest somebody gets confused. Before we choose the Lord as our God, there must be some knowledge of Him. You cannot make a choice without having some kind of a knowledge. This crowd had had knowledge of God. Why? They had been with God in the wilderness. They had watched God bring water out of the rock. They had watched Him bring manna down from heaven. They had watched God, my friend, part the waters of the Jordan River and take them across into the land that they were living in. They had some sort of a knowledge of God. Now I'm telling you, nobody can make a choice to serve God until God affords them that opportunity by granting them some knowledge of Himself.
Amen.
I'm trying, boy, my throat's rough. Amen. For choosing the Lord as our God, we must have some knowledge of Him. When He reveals Himself to us, we are then granted the privilege of choosing and serving Him or rejecting Him and serving the gods of this world. Amen. Now, look here. If we and our families have chosen the Lord, you people sitting here tonight, if you have chosen the Lord, if you've made God your choice, then there should not be any difficulty in your life when it comes to serving God. And I'm not talking about serving God when we feel like it and not serving God when we don't feel like it. I'm talking about serving God. I'm talking about sweeping the floors of the church. I'm talking about tithing our income. I'm talking about cleaning the bathrooms. I'm talking about cleaning the kitchen, cooking food. I'm talking about laboring on marathons. I'm talking about reading my Bible, praying. I'm talking about worshiping God, singing the hymns of the faith, and being faithful to the house of God. I'm talking about serving God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm afraid now we got a bunch of half-hearted people in most of our churches. And we feel like God's an old spare tire that we can just serve when we feel like serving God. And when we don't, why, we'll just lay her aside, you know, and not serve Him. But I'm telling you, if you have chosen Him, if you love Him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and you've chosen the Lord as your God, then there should not be any difficulty in our serving Him to the utmost. Just like Paul said, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. I'm telling you, we've got a bunch of half-hearted, individuals that want to serve the Lord half-heartedly. Seems like we never get stirred about God. We never get stirred about God's service. We never get stirred about giving. We never get stirred about praying. We never get stirred about praising. We never get stirred into preaching. We never get stirred. Now, I'm going to tell you one reason this: our hearts are not where they ought to be with God. Amen. Somebody said, well, your preaching ain't so hot. You think you can crack her a better lick? Jump up here, Buckwheat. I'll sure give you an opportunity. Praise God, if you think you've got the hammer down a little better than I can, let her go. That's right. Now listen to me a minute. I want to mention just a couple of truths about the Bible outside of our text about serving God. And I'm telling you, I'm a little sick. But I ain't that sick, but I'm trying to preach to you. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather give you some truths tonight that'll soak into your heart, brother, where we can learn to serve God with a joyful spirit, amen, and with the right kind of attitude, than I would to have you climbing the pews. By the way, for your information, God brought them out of Egypt to serve Him. And God brought you out of bondage for you to serve Him. Hey, I just read, there's two places in the book of the Revelation that talks about God's people serving Him. And day and night, the Bible said they serve God continually. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When we have a meal like we did at breakfast the other morning, every woman in this building, and every young girl that is old enough to learn to cook, or to brought in a pan of biscuits, or a pone of cornbread, or a slug of bacon, or a bowl of gravy, or brought in something to serve God. But I'm going to tell you, friend, we're raising up a younger generation of young people that is downright trifling and lazy and sorry, and they won't serve God because they're lazy in their body. That's right. That's right, amen. It ain't time to pray. Son, I'm telling you, if you love God, it ought to be a joy. That's right, it ought to be a joy. I don't find it hard to come and preach. Somebody said, you're getting a paycheck for it. If that's what you think, you're dumb. I'm not getting no paycheck, friend, to preach. I'm getting your paycheck to sit in the emergency room to 3 o'clock in the morning like I done Brother Frazier on Sunday night. I'm not getting your paycheck to preach. God called me to preach. I'd preach out on the sidewalk or the nursing home. If I couldn't preach here, I'm going to preach somewhere. God called me to preach, friend. I served the church by marrying you, burying your dead, and coming to the hospital where you're there. You don't pay me to preach the Word of God. I do it to serve Him. You know why? He's called me. And Sunday ain't a man, woman in this church that is saved by the grace of God, that God hadn't called you to some degree. He's called you out of darkness into light. He's called you out of death into life. He has called you from following the prince of this world to follow the Son of God. If He's your Lord. If He's your God. That's right. Now here are just a few truths. Now you can follow along in your Bible if you want to. In fact, I'd recommend it. Listen here. If we're going to serve Him, it must. If we serve Him, it must be acceptable to Him. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth do you mean it must be acceptable to Him? Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Right there is what is acceptable to God. That's right. And that is the only way, that only service that is acceptable to Him, is if we will serve Him, my friend, with reverence and with godly fear. Somebody said, what on earth do you mean by reverence, Brother Hall? I'm talking about serving Him modestly, with shamefacedness, not with pride and arrogancy, but with a humility of spirit, my friend. Hey, God is not going to accept the proud, but the humble and the meek and the lowly, God will accept. Now, I don't mind telling you this. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of our camp meetings, buddy. And I meant what I said Sunday morning. I don't back up an inch. If God don't change my mind, I'm not going to many more of them. You can't go to a camp meeting and get enough men together like-minded enough to preach. And they're not concerned about the people sitting out in the pew. About most of them that I see anymore is so cocky and arrogant. But that's right. And they think they're God's gift to the church. And they're the only preacher that ever put on a pair of breeches and slipped a necktie around her neck, and most of them ought to have a noose around her neck. Huh? I'm going to tell you what we ought to be like. Brother, we ought to be like I said the other night, like Elijah. When God spoke to Elijah out of that cave, Elijah took the mantle and wrapped it around his face and covered up his flesh and his pride that the grace of God might be seen. I'm going to say we need to be like them cherubims and seraphim that was flying around the throne of God in Isaiah 6, had six wings. With twain they covered their face, and twain they covered their feet, and with the other two they flew. And they covered their face and their feet, my friend, because they were humble in their spirit. I'm going to tell you, friend, God will not accept the work and the service of a proud and an arrogant man. No, sir. I told you this little story. But I'll tell it to you again. A preacher said one time, this young preacher sitting on the front row in a camp meeting. And he sat there by an old man of God. Said somebody got up and preached. Said that boy sat there a minute. And he said, boy, said, bless God, if they'd let me up there, I'd show him how to do it. I'd show him how to get her done. They'll just give me 30 minutes, buddy. I'll show him how to get it done. He said, I'm a preacher. He said, that boy up there, don't. He said, I'm a preacher. I'll show him how to get the job done. Sure enough, after about two or three preachers of Pisces Church called on that young man, son, he jumped up as fast as he could, strolled his shoulders back, strutted to that platform, walked up and opened his Bible, said about two words, and got a bad case of the lock jaw. Dropped his head, couldn't say another word. Didn't have anything to say, couldn't say another word. Closed his Bible and looked up and said, well, I guess that's about all I have. Walked back down, sat back down on the pew, and looked over at the old man of God and said, hey, I had the message. I had the unction. Pray tell me what in the world was wrong. Why couldn't I preach? And the old man looked over at him and said, son, if you would have went to the platform like you come down, you could have come down like you went up. I'm telling you, friend, we got to serve God with a humble and a contrite spirit. God will not accept the work of the proud. That's right. And then he said, not only with godly fear or with reverence, but with godly fear. And by the way, that word acceptably there in that verse of Scripture means fully agreeable. God's got to be, Lord have mercy, God's got to be fully agreeable with what we're saying. And it's got to be with reverence and with godly fear. I'm going to tell you, I don't see much fear in people today. I don't see much fear in preachers today. I'm seeing preachers preach just about anything that they want to preach. And it is apparent to me, my friend, that they have never got alone in their prayer closet and prayed to God about what they're going to preach before they preach it. Huh? What did Brother Paul say? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And most preachers don't have any long suffering, and most of them don't know one thing about right doctrine. Son, it's my opinion and not what God says. I tell you, if we don't start preaching what says the Word of God, my friend, our churches are going all down the tube into depravity, and the devil's having a heyday because of it. Famous doctrine. Man's opinion. I'm so sick of man's opinion. I'm going to tell you one thing I like about Brother Brown. Aubrey Brown is a Bible preacher. And I say this in honesty. I recommended that man to Sturgis. They didn't want him. They wanted a young man. Somebody, and there's probably some of them listening to me. And I love some of them over there. They wanted a young man that could tickle the keys of the piano so they'd get the young crowd in. I'm going to tell you what they needed. They needed an old man of God, an old seasoned man of God that could take that Bible and rightly divide it and preach Bible doctrine and truth that their hearts might be blessed, amen, and they might find help. What they want, somebody that'll pump them up in their emotions without getting one thing in their heart to live for God by. And I say that in love, and that's a fact. Now, listen to the... Let me give you another thing. If we're going to serve Him, it must be with a proper attitude. Huh? I said the right attitude. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 1:9. He said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son." He didn't say, "I serve it with my flesh." I serve with my spirit. And that is a little S. That is not the Holy Spirit. He's not saying I'm serving God because of the Holy Spirit. But I'm serving Him with my spirit. He's talking. By the way, the Strong's there gives that word as the right disposition. The right attitude. I'm here to tell you, friend, if we ain't got our motives right and our attitude ain't right, God will not accept our work and our labor. If we're going to serve God and labor for God, it is going to have to be, my friend, with the right attitude in our minds. Hallelujah. I'm trying to hurry. I've done broke out in a fever. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to say number three. If we're going to serve Him, it must be by self-denial. We'll never serve Him without denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following God. He said in John 12:26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." He didn't say follow the world. He didn't say follow himself, his own will, but follow me. If any man's going to serve me, then let him follow me. And it goes on to say in that same verse, if a man's going to serve me, him will my Father honor. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you want some godly honor today, follow Christ. Learn to serve Him. I'm going to tell you young couples in here that is full of strength in your bodies and got vim and vitality, you ought to be the backbone of this church, the throttle of this church, the strength of this church. Amen to God. You need to learn to follow Christ, not worry about the world out there, but follow Christ, and Christ will always give His best to you if you will. Amen. I say number four, if we're going to serve Him, I've already mentioned it, but it must be in humility. Huh? Listen to what our Lord said in Luke 22:26. He said, "But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve." I'm going to tell you what most people want today. They want to be chief, cook, and bottle washer, but they don't want to be servants.
Right.
And if you ain't careful with them that are servants, if they get just a little bit of knowledge and think they've learned a little something, they've arrived, then they'll want to be the chief daddy rabbits over everything.
Right.
Huh? God can't use that. Oh, no, it's got to be done in humility. That's right. If you want to be chief, I said this a long time ago, but friend, the way up is down and the way down is up. If you want to go up with God, hey, promotion cometh not from the east nor the west, church. Promotion cometh from the Lord. And the way up in God's service is down in your own heart and life in a humble spirit. That's right. Now the text, and I like this. I want to give you some things out of the text, and we're going to the house, okay? I want to say, first of all, and this is important. This is important. The word serve now is mentioned in Joshua 24. Are you ready for this? Is mentioned 12 times in Joshua number 24. 12 times. Huh? Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what's so significant about that?" 12 in the Bible is the number of government. Government, a government body, is a ruling body, or a ruling body with authority. And the point our Lord is trying to make there is that we're kings and priests in God's family, and we're going to rule and reign with Him. And what He's telling the nation of Israel is, or these Jews, if you're going to rule and reign with Christ as a body, a governmental body of authority, then you're going to have to learn to serve Him. I'm here to tell you, friend, what I believe. I believe a bunch of sluggards that don't ever have any desire to serve God will wind up in hell without God and without any hope.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. Then that word, and then the word served now, S-E-R-V-E-D, is mentioned four times in that chapter. And the word served, or number four rather, is a number of the earth. And by the way, Israel is God's earthly people. Whether you like it or whether you don't. Whether you want to believe it or whether you don't want to believe it. Their inheritance is where they are right now. In a glorified earth. Somebody said, will they not be in the heaven? Amen. Heaven will be earth. That's right. That's right. They're God's earthly people. They're going to spend eternity, friend, in a glorified body on a glorified earth. Amen. A serving God on this earth right here that we're living on today.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then read your Bible and you'll come to it. They're God's earthly people, and we as Gentiles are God's heavenly people that will inherit the New Jerusalem. John said, I saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And she sat on 12 pillars, and the kings of the earth brought their treasures under the gate. Who do you think the kings of the earth is? The tribes of Israel. Amen to God. They're an earthly people with an earthly blessing. Somebody said they're second rate. No, they ain't second rate. Son, I'm going to tell you what. These people in hell give their eye teeth to live on this glorified earth for an eternity. Son, can you imagine what it's going to be like? Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, it's just going to be like it is in the millennial. Oh, no, it'd be better than that. In the millennial, the curse is going to be lifted. But, honey, in eternity, this world, this earth, is going to be renovated and purified by fire. And there will be new heavens and a new earth come down like something you ain't never seen before. No, they won't be disappointed.
Right.
And neither will you, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't nobody leave me. Don't nobody leave me, and I'm just about done. I want to mention three things to you tonight. Why I want to serve Him that I find in this text. And I'm doing my best. I'm sick, but I'm doing my best. Y'all try to help me and stay with me, and we'll be done in 10, 15 minutes, okay? I want to serve Him, or I will serve Him, because of where He brought me from. God, when I think of where God brought me from. No way. No wonder Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods on the other side of the flood or the gods down yonder in Egypt or the Lord. But choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
He could say that because of where God had brought him from. Now look with me, please, if you would, in the Scripture, in verses 5 and 6 of our chapter. He said in verse number 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I want to serve Him because He brought me out of Egypt. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's so significant about Egypt? Now, friend, it's a type of the world. Amen to God. I'm glad that He brought me out of the world. Amen. I'm not a listening to Three Dog Night and Tupac Shaker. It's in hell, burning and a frying in hell. Amen. I'm not running to Rump Arena and watching the Wildcats. You'll catch that in that a while. Amen. I'm not running to the beaches and play. Oh no, and to the theaters and the movie houses. For God hath brought me out of this world. I want to serve Him because I'm not a worldling. I'm a saint of God with an inheritance on the other side. Hallelujah to God. Brought me out of Egypt. Glory to God. How could I not serve Him for bringing me out of that mess? Woo-wee! 470 long years those people had been in the slime pits down in Egypt under that bondage, carrying that load under the whip of their taskmasters, my friend. What a blessing to get out of that mess. What a load they was carrying. Amen. I want to serve Him because of the load that has been lifted and where He brought me out of. Hallelujah. Out of this rotten, stinking, hellish world that someday will melt with a fervent heat. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Brought me out of Egypt. I want to say number two, I'm going to serve Him because of where He brought me from. Not only did He bring me out of Egypt, but He brought me out of enslavement. He brought me out of enslavement. In our text, in Exodus chapter number 20, he said in verse number 2, he said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Out of the house of bondage. Out of enslavement. See, what a lot of Baptists ain't never soaked in on them is that God, you were a slave, friend, to sin. Somebody said, oh no, I was having a good time. No, you were a slave to sin. Sin had a hook in your nose. I'm not sure they still got some of you. Amen. But sin, you were a slave to sin. That's right. Sin had, amen. That's right. You were living in the world in a house of bondage and were a slave to sin. And God has brought you out of that. Now pray tell me, if you served sin all that time, why in heaven's name, if you're saved, why won't some of you learn to serve God? I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture in Romans. Romans 6:16. Listen what Brother Paul wrote. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now let me ask you something more tonight. Why wouldn't we serve God? If we were servants of sin unto death, and God delivered us from that place of enslavement and brought us out of that slime pit of sin that we were living in the world, wouldn't it be better for you and I to put our ears to the doorpost and let God take the awl and drill through our ears and make us bond servants or bond slaves of Christ? If we serve the devil, how much more should we serve God by His grace? That's right. Some of y'all in here used to be drunks and dopers. Whoremongers and adulterers and whores. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I'm going to tell you what it was. Friend, you were a slave to that. You couldn't get away from it. Amen. You couldn't have got away from it. Had not the Holy Ghost of God came to where you were. Hey, Israel didn't jump across the Red Sea up into Canaan land and said, here we are, God, start loving us. Oh, no. My text tells me that God sent Moses and Aaron down into Egypt and brought them out. He visited them there. I've got news for you. If God hadn't visited you where you were, you'd still be out there with a snare, with a hook ring in your nose. You'd still be on the dance floors. You'd still be down at the theater house. Some of you'd be out drunk tonight. Some of you'd be a cussing. Your homes would be full of hell. You'd be a fighting and a slapping and a cussing one another and a beating on your kids. There wouldn't be any joy. There wouldn't be any peace. There wouldn't be any happiness. I'm telling you, because you were a slave to sin, but God came to where you were. Like the, what's his name? Things, he came to me. I could not come to where you was, but he came to me. Aren't you thankful? Praise God, he came to you. I think if God got me out of a mess, I wouldn't have any problem serving him. How many times some of you in here come close to death? I sat in a motel room the other night and talked to Brother Brown. I told him, I said, Brother Brown, I said, I'll never forget that day. December the 13th, 1966. Walking alongside an old stinking riverbed in Phan Thet province in South Vietnam. And booby traps went off. Bombs exploded. Boys started falling everywhere around me, and a boy no more than 3 foot in front of me fell back into my arms with blood all over his face, all over his arm. And I set that boy down. At my feet. I'm telling you, I don't know whether the boy's alive or whether he's dead, but I'm telling you that I'm glad that in the providence of God, that boy took my load, and God saw fit in providence to bring me back from that place alive and allow me to hear the gospel where I could be delivered from sin and enjoy heaven. That's right. Son, I'll never forget that day. Got on that PRC 25 radio, and I said, Tar Bucket,
Oh, I forget. No, that was the lieutenant. I was Tarbucket 3-3 Mike. I forget what command post was. I said, this is Tarbucket 3-3 Mike. They said, what is it, Mike? I said, I'm coming in. They said, no, you ain't. I said, no, I didn't say a pig's eye. I said, I cuss bad. I'm down terrible. I said, what you think, man? I said, I'm on my way in. Said, we ain't got a replacement. I said, find one fast. Because I'm gone, son. I said, if you send a helicopter out here in the morning, Hall's gone. I'm gone. I wasn't no bucket 3-3 Mike, son. It's Hall. I'm going to tell you, you come within 3 feet of death. Well, you hear what I'm telling you? You come within 3 feet of death. Son, and tell me, hey. And somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you would have, I'm going to tell you what happened if I'd have died. I'd have split hell wide open. I'm just as lost as a goose, friend. Yeah. Amen. Just as lost as a goose and on my way to hell. But I'm glad that the Holy Ghost spared my soul and allowed me to get back to a little block building in Indiana where I could hear the gospel and be saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I was a little boy, probably 11, 12, I don't remember, it was 1957, 58, and I was born in 46, I don't know if I was 11 or 12, but a little old boy moved from Litchfield named Ronnie Hesson. They moved up to Underwood, and me and Ronnie became friends. He had a little motor scooter, and we played ball together, and little league ball. Now, I'll never forget one Saturday morning, we was going to mow that little old ball diamond there behind Killing Supermarket. I showed it to some of you boys in here, rode up there with me. I told the kids, some of the kids the other day. We drove up West Street. And I said, kids, I said, you see that field? I said, that's where Grandpa hit the long ball that day. And I said, there's a railroad track. Had to hit it over. Oh, I was so proud telling them kids about that. But I'll never forget that morning. And they come, my uncle come in and said, hey, they want us to mow the cemetery today. And I said, I'm supposed to mow the ball diamond. He said, well, you'll make $15. And boy, to me, $15 when I was a 12-year-old boy was a pretty good chunk of money. And today, it ain't nothing for these kids, but $15 back in is a pretty good chunk of money. Amen. And so I decided to mow the cemetery. But I come home at dinner time, what we call dinner. They call it lunch today. I call it dinner. Amen. And Mama had them good old beans on the stove, amen, and cornbread and big green onions, buddy, and a glass of Kool-Aid, amen. I mean, it was good, amen to God. And about that time, I heard that little old motor scooter. And I walked to the door, and old Ronnie Hesson said, hey, man, said, come on down to the ballpark. Said, we got her ready. Said, man, said, it looks good. We're ready to play ball. I climbed on the back of that little old motor scooter, headed down to Underwood 1/2 mile. Got down there and we stood and looked at that ball. Boy, it did look good. I was anxious to play ball the next day on Sunday. Shame on you if you play ball on Sunday, you wicked heathen. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, why was you doing it? I was a heathen. I didn't know any better. But oh, I'm telling you, we stood there and looked at it. I said, I've got to go. Daddy's ready to take me back up to finish mowing the cemetery. Got on that little old motor scooter and he drove, took that 1/2 mile back to my mom and daddy's house, left me off, turned around, headed back to Underwood. I got in the car with my daddy and headed to the cemetery. Daddy dropped me off. Within 5 minutes, he was back, crying. He said, son, you got to come home. You got to come home. I said, what's wrong? And he called him Hesse boy. Said, that little Hesse boy, his name's Hesson, Ronnie Hesson. He said, that little Hesse boy just got hit by a train right down at the railroad crossing on his little motor scooter. Said all of Underwood, and they was, all Underwood was gathered, son. I'm telling you, we got down there. When I got there, they'd already picked up his body, had it loaded in a hearse. And all I could see was that left arm laying out under that white cloth. My friend, that left arm laying out under that white cloth. And I saw black marks on that left arm, and the kids on the ball team was a run around there crying. They come up to me and said, we've been looking for you. We thought you was on the scooter with him. Because everywhere he went, I went. Amen. But I'm telling you, it just wasn't in the providence of God. God allowed me to get on to that little motor scooter and go back to mowing grass. God spared my soul that I might hear the gospel. Why wouldn't I serve Him? If God has kept me out of hell, why wouldn't I serve God? His daddy gave me the pants and shirt that he wore to enroll in Hendersonville Elementary School that year, junior high, and give me a pair of black pants and a little blue shirt. And I'm telling you,
because that he had wore it one day and had his odor on it. I didn't let my mama wash him clothes for 2 or 3 weeks. She said, "Son, I got to wash him clothes." I said, "I don't want them washed, Mommy." I said, "It's the only thing that I got left to remind me of Ronnie." I said, "I don't." She said, and finally she made me wash him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As far as I know, Ronnie's in hell. As far as I know, that boy over yonder in Vietnam, there's a black boy, was a point man, took my load. That point man had his head blown completely off. Are you here, Mom? You have a point man. The Lord Jesus is your point man. He took your load. He took your shot. He suffered your hell and your death. Why should not we serve Him if God has brought us out of Egypt and out of enslavement? Why shouldn't we serve Him? That's right, ain't it? Brought me out of endless death. I think of the rich man in Luke 16. He's there today, folks. And guess what? He's still trying to die and can't do it. Although he's dead, he can't die. God brought me out of that. Whew. Hallelujah. Give me life. That more abundantly. Amen. For if any man hath the Son, he hath life. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I'm going to live forever. Praise be unto His wonderful name. If He brought me out of death, Brother Dove, and give me life, why wouldn't I want to serve Him? I'll tell you what old Brother Fletcher told me over there. He said, "Huh?" He said, "Who y'all got coming to the meeting, huh?" I said, "I don't know, Brother John. Who's coming?" He said, "I sure hope your son-in-law comes." He said, "That Brother Dove," said, "he's a better worker than what I got there in my church." Said, "He does more work in my meetings than my people do." Endless death. I want to tell you, I want to serve Him, church, not only for where He brought me from, but what He's brought me through. Have you ever thought about what all God's brought you through? Look here. He said down in verse number 7 of our text, it said, "And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season." I'm glad God's brought me through the wilderness. I won't serve Him what He's brought me through. The wilderness, I'm going to tell you, it ain't always been as easy as it is right now. Every time I drive through Rumsden, look up and see that little old white weatherboard building over there, Brother George, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Every time I drive up Richland Road up into Livermore and look at that house that's set over there that we spent a year and 6 months in, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Every time I think of Greenville, South Carolina, and schooling and 3 long, grinding, hard years, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Every time, folks, every time I think of Grown Valley, Arizona, I say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I'm simply saying, friend, that I know what it is to wander in the wilderness. I want to serve Him because He finally brought me out of the wilderness into Canaan land. But I said, "Where is Canaan? You're sitting in it right now." Every time I leave here and come back, I drive into Hopkins County, I say, "You smell that, Miss Hall?" She said, "I don't smell nothing." I said, "It's Hopkins County. Don't it smell good?" Wonderful.
Amen.
I walked in here last night and there wasn't nobody here. Everybody gone home. It's dark outside. I walked in, walked back in the back, walked around. Walked out here in the pews. Sat down for a minute. Walked all around in the church. I got to thinking. I said, "Lord, if you ever was to lead me away from here," I said, can you just imagine all the memories that I'd have to leave behind to leave this place?" I thought about, I've had 7 grandkids born in that hospital up there. And I thought about some of you. I remember the night that some of you got saved. I remember that morning. It was a rough morning, wasn't it, Patty? But old Patty come that morning and got saved by the grace of God. How could I forget that? Never forget the night old brother Ricky back there got saved. I'll never forget Mary and Steve. I married Steve and Tammy here, and I married Ben and Angie here. How could I ever forget those times? Some of the marathons, some of the revival meetings. How could I forget these scuff marks on the floors and on the pews and the black marks on these walls where some of you men have cut chobies and these little youngins running around? How could I forget all that? I'm talking about memories, folks. Hey, God's brought me through the wilderness and brought me into a wealthy place, and I thank God for it. I'm going to tell you something. Me and Brother Brown talking a while ago, I'm just being honest with you. We don't always shout and run around here, but I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Amen. We could be in a whole lot worse place.
Amen.
Oh, thank God that He brought me through the wilderness. Can I say to you that on that trip through the wilderness, there was a little bit of water out of the rock. Woo! While I was in that wilderness, there was a little manna from heaven. And while I was in the wilderness, somebody said, what happened? God spread a table. 10, God, 10.
Yeah. Amen.
Not only can God, God did.
Right.
That's right. Where He's brought me from. What He's brought me through. He brought me through the wilderness. I want to say, look here. Look in these other verses. And I don't have time to read them all. I'm tired and sick and ready. But verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, He talks about warring with Balak and with the Perizzites and the Hittites. Not only has He brought me through the wilderness, He's brought me through some wars. I've got a few battle scars. Amen to God. When I talk about wars, I'm talking about the trials. I'm talking about the tribulations. I'm talking about the temptation. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you mean you've been tempted? Oh, yes, but out of every one of them, God's delivered me. In the troubles. Paul said, God delivered me out of all my troubles. Why wouldn't I want to serve Him? And I want to say this too. Look in verse number 11. He said, and you went over Jordan. Not only did He bring me through the wilderness and through the wars, but He brought me through the water. I'm talking about, folks, through the Spirit-filled life. He brought me across Jordan and filled me with the Holy Ghost. I don't think I'm doing too bad to be half sick tonight and preaching to a bunch of deadheads on top of it. I think we're hanging in there pretty good. I'll never forget that first night, church. I'll never forget that night under that old tabernacle in Greer, South Carolina, buddy. On that Friday night when old Tom Hayes got done a preaching and God buried my nose in the shavings, my friend 7-8 inches deep in the shavings under that old tabernacle with no sides on it. And it was there for the first time in my life that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, you speak in tongues? Nobody. I didn't speak in no tongues, but I knew that I'd had a move of God down in my soul. I knew I'd been somewhere with God I had never been before, buddy. I knew I was in some territory and some land that I had never walked upon. I'm going to tell you, since that day, I ain't really give a flip about what I look like when I preach, what folks think about. Don't make a flip to me. God called me to preach. Somebody said, you sure are ugly, you preach. My wife thinks I'm good looking. Amen. I want to serve Him because of where He brought me from, what He's brought me through. I want to serve Him for what He has prepared for me.
Amen.
Can you imagine? Look what He says in verse number 13. He said, and I have given you a land. But here's the blessing of it. I've given you a land which you did not labor, for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwelt in them, and of vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Oh, yeah, He's prepared for you and I an inheritance. And I'm going to tell you what, here's the best thing about it, Brother Mark. It's free. He said, you're going to a land, friend, you didn't labor for. And He said, I have built you cities there that you didn't even labor for. You know why? Well, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to tell you what, friend, if you're saved tonight, you're going to a mansion And you ain't got one dime invested in it, not a penny invested in it. Why on heaven's name would I not want to serve somebody that has got something like that reserved in heaven for me? Somebody said, I sure would like to have a nice home, just wait around. It's coming. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Get born again, you will. It's coming, it's free. And by the way, it's finished. Time I walk in my house and look at them stairs, I say, Lord, please, please. No sidewalks, no front steps, and no stairs finished. Lord, please. Got a little tile left, but Lord, please. But I'm going to tell you what, I ain't got to worry about that nowhere being finished. I believe it's finished before the foundation of the world. Somebody said, did you surprise God when you got saved? No, didn't shock him a bit. It's finished. I want to say number three, it fadeth not away. This net will never tarnish. Everything down here is built by man, folks. And what ain't built by man was created by God, and it's under a curse, and it's all getting older and fading away. Every building will eventually fade away. Somebody said, well, the computer age is here to stay. It'll soon fade away, and something new will come on the scene. It'll all fade away. And then I want to say I want to serve Him. Because that land is prepared for me. I'm fed from that land. He said, you plant it. He said, there's vineyards and olive yards which you planted, of which you didn't plant them. But, well, I'll get it right in a minute. He said, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do you eat. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you worried about Y2K? No, sir. I'm fed from that land.
Amen.
Not this one. That one. My substance and sustenance comes from above. God's prepared us a place, church. He's brought us out. He's brought us through. And He's going to bring us in someday. That's why I want to serve God. That's why I'm going to serve. Now, I'll tell you that. Hey, I have no other gods before me. And as far as me and my house, me and mama, we're going to serve the Lord. You need to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. We're going to serve Him. Let's stand together.